Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Mesechet Bedachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is full of heart rich. It's daf Lamed Beis. And we're holding at the bottom of Lamed Aleph Amud Beis, four lines up from the bottom. Omar Rabbi Chalber, Chazina Leila Ravuna Dekorichle Mi'echad Klapei Shema. That actually I saw myself, and Rav Huna turned his mezuzah when he was getting it ready to put up on his door. So you roll up the mezuzah. He rolled the mezuzah in the direction towards the beginning, towards the word Shema. So in other words, it doesn't mean that it was from Echad, literally Klapei Shema, because we don't necessarily end the line. Actually, the meaning is not the line, end the line with Echad, and we have a standard and how it is that each line begins in the mezuzah, even though it's not Akev, obviously, as we saw yesterday. So it just means in that direction. So he went in the direction of Echad towards Shema, and then the Shema would be right on top, on the outside of the mezuzah. Va'oseh parshiyoteh asitumot. And he also made, when he wrote his mezuzah, he made them dafka situmot. Now, it's a little bit strange what it's saying over here, because, I mean, there's only two parshiot, and there's no one, there's nothing before the first parsha, so you can't literally make it stuma. But what it means is he makes the difference between the two parshiot, between Shema v'Hoya im Shemoha, which obviously in the Sefer Torah are nowhere near each other. And so there's no real relationship between the two of them in terms of the organization of Tucha and Stuma. But he left the Parsha Situma. Now, in terms of what exactly that would mean, that's like a big machlokas, actually, in terms of Halach HaMaisa, machlokas between the Rambam and the Rosh, and exactly what is meant by a Parsha Ptucha and a Parsha Situma. According to the Rambam, the Parsha Petucha is always going to begin at the beginning of a line, so that if there's not enough room at the end of the previous line to have nine letters, so then you will skip a line and you'll open the next parsha at the beginning of that next line. According to the Rosh, you can have a parsha petucha on the same line as long as you have enough space between it and the end of the previous parsha. But in any event, he would make the Parsha Satuma, which is what we do, which the minig is basically you have a little bit of open space at the end of the first Parsha and a little bit of open space at the beginning of the second Parsha, and which means that it's Satum. The question is that we asked, how could Rav Huna do this if we have a braita that says to do the opposite? Meitve, Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Meir, and of course Rabbi Meir was the one who was considered to be the Lavlar that was for Klal Yisrael, the greatest of the Seferim, and he was Makbid, to write his mezuzah on Duch Sustus, and he used to write it like a daf in the Sefer Torah. So what does that mean? If you recall, the way in which the parshas in your tefillin look is they're very long, and They're not high, so they're wide and they're short. And he wrote the mezuzah more the way we write the mezuzah, like a daf in the Sefer Torah, which is longer and thinner. But the other question is, what does Duch Sustus mean? So this again, it's amazing how many machlokas there are about these fundamental ideas. But anyway, the Pashtus is that the Duch Sustus, we begin with a skin that we call a gvil. Now, that skin is actually peeled into two. So you have the dermis and the epidermis. Now, the two parts of the skin, the upper part, which is klapei chutz, is called the klaf. And the lower part is called the Duch Sustus, which seems definitely from the language, Duch means next to, Sustus is the word for flesh. So it's next to the flesh. And then you have the area, the question of the area of where you write it. You would write it, as we'll see later, on the part that was where they came together. Now, of course, there are those who argue and say that all of this is the exact opposite, but we'll follow this approach of Rashi, Tosfos, and so on. So he used to write it on Duch Sostos, and he used to write it like the daf in his Sefer Torah, and not like your tefillin would be. The Osa Revach Milamala, and he left a margin on top, a margin on the bottom, and he would make the parshiot petuchot. So how did Rav Huna make the parshiot stumot? Anyway, so when I saw Rabbi Meir doing that, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, I asked him, Rabbi, Matam, why are you making the parshiot petuchot, since in the Torah they're written as stumot? Amar li, hoyo ve'ein smuchot min haTorah. What's the difference how they're written in the Torah? The relationship between the parshios and the Torah is irrelevant here because they're not next to each other. So even though in a Sefer Torah, the Parsha Shema is followed by a stuma, the question of whether it's sosum or patuach is a din in the relationship to the previous parshiot. It is not meant as a din except as remozin, such as Lama Parsha Zeptucha Meta Stuma. But it's not meant as a description of the Parsha itself. It's a description of its relationship to the other Parshas. Therefore, since Shema is not next to Vaya Im Shemoa, so I therefore see it as being disassociated. If it's disassociated, so I leave it open. Not next to the next Parsha. And Omar of Kananel Omar Rav, this is how we paskin. The way that Reb Shimon ben Elazar explained that he saw Rabbi Meir, that's what we do. I'm assuming that that means that's what we do, benogia, making the parashiot petuchot, as opposed to stumot, right? In which case, how could it be, if Rav paskins this way, Omar of Kananel Omar Rav, and we go according to the way Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar saw Rabbi Meir and reported it, then that would mean that Rav Huna, who is the chief Talmud of Rav, I mean, always it's Rav Huna Amar Rav, and now Rav Huna is doing the opposite of what his Rebbe said, and he made the Parshiot Setumot. Says the Gemara, no, when Rav paskined over a year like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, he was paskining Benogea, the din of the Revach, that there was this new halacha nobody had mentioned before, that you need space on the top and on the bottom so that there was a gilayon. That's what he was paskening like, but he wasn't addressing the other issues of Rabbi Meir. And how big is that revach? Since it doesn't say over here, like it said with the Sefer Torah yesterday, Kama revach, Omer Rabbi Nasha bar Yaakov, Yamilom Reb Shmuel bar Yaakov, Kimlo at bar de Sifre. You know that there needs to be a little clipper on this side to keep the cloth straight, and that way the sofer is not constantly struggling against the cloth's tendency to roll up. So that is called what he calls over here an atba. So an atba is like, in English we would call it, I guess, a clip. I don't know if it's literally like a flexible clip, but maybe it was a small piece of wood that they would fit under. And that is the normal size of that is a chatzi tziporen, as it's reported in halacha. So it's half of your fingernail, but it's just a little bit of a size to be able to hold the side. It's the equivalent of the space you would take up if you were holding something between your thumb and your forefinger. Omalei abayelur of Yosef. Don't you understand that that's all he was referring to? This is not something that should be difficult to prove. Atlo tisbra, tchiyoma rava revach? You mean you thought that, really thought that Rav had paskin like everything that Reb Shimon ben Elazar was referring to and what he had seen in what it was that Rabbi Meir did? Because we know that Rav always goes according to the minhag, as I'll show you. And now we know that everybody writes his mezuzah. There's a very standard way of writing a mezuzah. And everyone writes the mezuzah with a parsha sosum. So how could Rav have been the one who was paskening against the minhag, and he was saying, I paskin like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, and the mezuzah has to be like Rabbi Meir did it, meaning that it has to be petucha. How do I know this, that Rav is so makbid on a minhag? Because the Omar Rav, Omar Rav Kana, Omar Rav, if Eliyahu HaNavi would come to me and he would say to me, you know, you can do chalitza with a min'al. You can use a shoe for chalitza. Now, when we say shoe over here as opposed to sandal, it means shoe and sandal as it's referred to in the dinim of chalitza, and not, according to almost all the Rishonim, not the way that we would refer to a shoe and a sandal, but rather the shoe that's referred to over here means that it's a soft leather upper, and a sandal means that it's hard like a sandal is, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't have an upper. It just would be a hard upper. So if Eliyahu would come to me and he would say, it's okay, you can use a regular shoe for chalitza, and you don't need to have that hard shoe, which we call the sandal, I would say, okay, if Eliyahu Novi says so. So I could be semich on that, and it's good enough for me. But if he would tell me that ein chotzin besandal, if he would say, you can't use what we have the minhag to use all the time, which is the hard upper, then I wouldn't listen to him. That I wouldn't listen to. Ain't shamin lo. Shekvar nogo am besandal. I would never listen to him to tell me that the minhag that everybody has been doing is wrong. So vamrina may be nayu. So what was the nafkamina? Why would he agree with him in one? I think I skipped one of the... Rabbi Yosef, Omar of Kahn, Omar Rav, slightly differently. And what he said was, if he would say that you can't do chalitza with a soft shoe, fine, I would believe him. But if he would say, so we said, what's the nafkamina between the two approaches to what Rav said? The nafkamina is whether min'al l'chatchila ikabinayu. What do we do nowadays? Eliyahu has not come, unfortunately. And then he'd say the nafkamina. So, in other words, according to Rabbo, he said, look, I would listen to Eliyahu if he would allow us to use a min'al. Means that if Eliyahu didn't come yet, then we don't use a min'al l'chatchila. And we would use only a sandal. Mashenkin Rabbi Yosef says we would listen to him if he would say you cannot use the sandal. It's mashma that if Eliyahu didn't say anything about it, then we would allow l'chatchila a sandal. And if the question that this is nogea is the issue of whether there's a gezeira derabanan, that if you have soft leather on top, you may end up using a shoe that tore and that's being held together with something that's holding it on the foot, but that the shoe itself is torn, and that wouldn't be kosher. And so they made a gezeira not to use the soft leather, terrible shoe. Anyway, but that would be the nafkamina. Is that binding or not? Alav shmamina a revach. So since Rav is so makbit on shekvar nagu, he would have said the same thing about a mezuzah. He would have said, Shekvar Nagu, a mezuzah, everybody's writing the mezuzah, is to be made bedavka with stumais. How could he possibly be paskening that you should bedavka make it as a petucha? So shmamina, that definitely he must have meant, we pasken like him in terms of the revach. Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak Omar, mitzvah lasotam situma. So what's the big deal? Maybe he would have paskened like Rav Shimon ben Elazar, and all that he was paskening was that it's kosher if you made it betucha. What makes you think that it means that since I saw Rabbi Meir do it, means it has to be done that way? Maybe Rabbi Meir was saying, look, there's no problem in making it betucha. I'm not telling you you have to make it that way. So it could very well be that we go according to the minhag in terms of the lechatchila, mitzvah, lasotam stumot. But so when Reb Shimon ben Elazar was saying that Rabbi Meir would make it petuchot, it didn't mean he only made it petuchot. He would mean af petuchot, that Rabbi Meir would accept even petuchot. But of course, he would be more than happy to go according to the minhag and make them setumot. And l'chora, what Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak is saying comes out to be true from the Braita, because lema misayei alei. Kayotzebo. So this is talking about the question of whether you can be married something from a Kedusha Kala to a Kedusha Chamura. So it says over there, you can't change your tefillin that is on the Rosh and turn it into tefillin by putting your skin over it and turning it into one bayit and so on. You can't make that into a tefillin shel yad. Why? Because the tefillin shel Rosh is a higher Kedusha, and you don't make a higher Kedusha thing. You're not married from a higher Kedusha to a lower Kedusha. And since the tefillin shel Rosh, this is a discussion we'll have later on, that since the tefillin shel Rosh are actually made with the two of the Osios of the Shem, that are Nogea, the tefillin shel Rosh, and the tefillin shel Yad only has one of the Osios Hashem. So because of that, it has a higher Kedusha, or it could be it has a higher Kedusha, Stam, because of the fact that it's worn on the Rosh, and it says, V'ro cholamei ha'aretz Hashem Hashem Elokecha nikra alecha v'yaru mimecha. So it could very well be that that's the reason. And we'll talk about the various possibilities why it would have a higher Kedusha later. But in any event, what the Braita was referring to is the question of whether you can be Moridin. So it continues on to say, and we start in the middle of the Braita, Kayotzebo. Now there's an additional issue that this is Nogiyam. And that is a Sefer Torah that is now not usable. It started to get worn out, and you're not going to be able to use this Sefer Torah anymore. Or you have Tefillin, and it started to wear out. You cannot take the Parshios out of that Sefer Torah and out of that Tefillin and turn them into mezuzah, or you'll sew them together, and now you'll make those two parshios of the Sefer Torah and of the tefillin into a mezuzah. Why not? Because ein moridin mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala. You can never go down in kedusha. Fine. So what does that say to you? That if it wouldn't be for that problem, and you would be able to be married from a kedusha chamura to a kedusha kala, you would be able to turn a Sefer Torah into a mezuzah. But how could you do that? What about the problem of stumot and ptuchot? I mean, after all, in the Sefer Torah, there's stumot. And over here, what you're, I mean, supposedly, you think that Rabbi Meir is saying they have to be ptuchot? So how in the world could you possibly do it that way? So it must be that Rabbi Meir never said that it would actually be possible. Rabbi Meir was saying you could make either way. And that must be the way Reb Nachman bar Yitzchak had actually said that Rabbi Meir was asserting Lahalacha. Because of that, it's no contradiction at all. Says the Gemara, it sounds like a nice raya, but it isn't. Because it could be that when we're talking about using a Sefer Torah and turning it into a mezuzah, we meant, let's say part of the mezuzah was chaser. Something happened. So now you want to take the last piece. So let's say you have the last four lines. You can cut that out of your Sefer Torah, out of your tefillin, and add it onto the mezuzah. But that wouldn't affect, obviously, the ptucha or the stuma, because the first line, which was koveya, that was already written. Maybe that's all that the Braita is referring to. And that it's talking about lahashlim. The Braita was saying, if you need the last lines of the mezuzah, if it wouldn't be for the problem of moridit mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala, you'd be able to use the closing lines from the Sefer Torah or from the tefillin. Now, let me ask you something. Just, I didn't quite understand this Braita because it seems to be running against what I know to be true. You're telling me that if it wouldn't be for that problem, and you would be able to be married from a Kedusha Chamura to a Kedusha Kala, so then you could take a Sefer Torah and turn it into a mezuzah? But doesn't it say in the Braita, V'atanya halacha l'Moshe Misinai, tefillin have to be written on klaf? Now the klaf, remember, is the upper part of the skin as you separate them. Mezuzah has to be written on the duchsustos, which, again, we're going according to those shitas that hold the klaf is the top. The duchsustos is next to the body, next to the basar. And where do you write? You write on the surface that had previously been where they meet. So the klaf, you write on the part that was closest to the basar. And the Duchsustus you write on the part that was closest to the sear, to the hair of the animal, the wool, whatever animal you're using, and the cow and the sear, and that would mean in the place where they're close together, because obviously the cloth being the upper part, that cloth is going to be mechuber in the place where it's closest to the basar. The Duchsustus being the lower will be mechuber in the part where it's closest to the sear. But anyway, you got a big problem over here. I mean, if that's the halacha l'maaseh miSinai, then besides the question of whether a parsha's p'tuch or a stum, it's written on the wrong type of skin. So how could you actually say in that brayta, my only problem with using a sefer Torah for a mezuzah is the question of ein moridim mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala, when there's a much more fundamental problem. It's the wrong type of skin. By the way, I just want you to know, not only is there a machlokas about the interrelationship of cloth and duchsustus, but there's tremendous differences in manufacturing processes and bizman hazeh where we don't split the skin. And instead, what's done is that there's obviously these are mechanized procedures now in which you're able to shave off and smooth down the underlying connected tissue on the cloth, so that in a sense, it's like created by scraping off the duchsustus and all types of other issues which have led to big sfeikus about the kashrus of the way most of the cloth is processed. These are things we'll talk about later, but don't take all of this just on face value. Anyway, so how do you explain a braita that says that we have halacha l'maaseh miSinai about writing it on different places where a mezuzah is supposed to be written on duchsustus and tefillin is supposed to be written on the cloth, and therefore you anyway would not be able to take a piece of a tefillin and use it as a mezuzah? Answers the Gemara, it's true that it said that in the braita, but that wasn't to be ma'akev. That was the mitzvah is to be that way. It's nicest if you write tefillin on a cloth and a mezuzah on duchsustus. But it was not ma'akev, and it would be kosher, and therefore, if it wouldn't be for the fact that ein moridin b'kedusha chamura l'kedusha kala, we would actually be able to do exactly that type of thing. How can you say that it's a mitzvah? Halacha l'maaseh miSinai is a mitzvah. It says b'feirush in the braita. Im shina pasul. If you did it any differently, it would be puzzle. So what are you telling me? That it doesn't mean that it has to be written that way on the duchsustus? No, that Mishnah, that braita is referring to tefillin. It's true. If you wrote tefillin on duchsustus and not on cloth, it would be puzzle. But that doesn't mean that a mezuzah has to be written on duchsustus. It could be written on cloth. So if you have a mezuzah written on cloth and you have tefillin that need to be and were written on cloth, if it wouldn't be for the ein moridin, then it would be possible to utilize it the way it is. And as far as the question of psuchas and stumas, either Rabbi Meir was saying, as we were coming out in the second approach, that you could even do ptuchot, or it would be referring to lahashlim. Problem is that there's yet another braita. And you know, in the end, we're going to get you. So there's another braita that says, shina is pasul, bein b'zeh, bein b'zeh. Now what are you going to do? So whether you flipped, I mean, I'm assuming that that means that if you did either tefillin wrong or mezuzah wrong, and you flipped the type of skin that you use, it would be pasul. No? No. It could mean bein b'zeh, bein b'zeh. It means that in both cases you wrote it on the cloth, but it means referring to tefillin only, where we agreed that over there it was ma'akev, but one was talking about where you wrote it on the cloth, but instead of writing it in the area of the cloth that was closest to the skin, you wrote it on the area of the cloth that was closest to the surface. And it's saying over there that it would be pasul even if it was on cloth, but you flipped it to the wrong side of the cloth. And the other one is referring to that even if you did write them on the chalik that was closest to the buser, but if you wrote it on the duchsustis side, then it would be pasul, even though it was written in the makom habuser. That's one way of understanding the bein bezeh bein bezor. I can tell you it means ibaizema, that when it says the question of bein bezeh, it means what you thought, but it's about machlokes tanoim. And shina bezeh bezeh is a machlokes tanoim, so maybe it does mean that if you changed either to write a tefillin on duchsustis or to write a mezuzah on klaf, it would be possible. But it happens to be a machlokes. The Tanya, shina bezeh ubezeh pasul, and Rabbi Acha machsher mishum Rabbi Choy ba Rabbi Chanina. So therefore, some say it was mishbe the Rabbi Yaakov ba Rabbi Chanina. But therefore, if you insist on its meaning that it would be pasul, either the mezuzah on duchsustis, on klaf, the tefillin on duchsustis, there is such a shita, but it's a machlokes tanaim. But I got another problem. You're telling me that if it wouldn't be for this issue of ein moreiding mikedusha chamura lekedusha kala, I could make a mezuzah out of tefillin. But there's another problem. So the Gemara has this incredible derech of gradually introducing issues you never heard of before. So, okay, so first, kind of things you're familiar with, you know, psuchos, tumais, then issues of what kind of skins all of a sudden. And then we'd start talking about which part of the skin, on which side of the skin. And now we've got another problem. The other problem is what is known as sirtut. Now, sirtut means that you make a mark by scraping into, I'm sure you've seen this when you read the Sefer Torah, that you have a nearly invisible line, and a Sefer Torah is lined. And the din is that a mezuzah has to be lined. And those lines, we were talking about the lines for each line along which you position the oat, so that it's up against the line, not the way we write in English, which is the opposite. And you also have a line on the side, so it doesn't go out of the margin. Remember, we spoke about when we were talking about the Sefer Torah, and you have an os that extends outside of the sirtut. But here we've got another problem, because a mezuzah needs sirtut. The Omer Rabbi Yumi Bar Chilki, Omer Rav Chama Bar Guria, Omer Rav, kol mezuzah she'ena mesurtetet psula. And Rabbi Yami Bar Chilkia says on his own, forget about that. I have a Kabbalah that sirtut of a mezuzah is halacha l'mashim yisina. So how can you make a mezuzah out of tefillin? Because those tefillin are not mesurtetot, because there's no din of sirtut on tefillin. And even if somebody would have made tefillin that were mesurtat, the mashma'ut is, this is a big machlokas. I'm again raising the issue so that you should be aware of what the Gemara is actually going to need. I can't even begin to describe the complexity of the different shitas in these sugyas is really amazing. But the question over here is, does this imply that the sirtut of the mezuzah has to be done lishma of the mezuzah? In which case, even if you would have done a sirtut on tefillin, and that would be the minhag, and you, so therefore, what's the problem? So you used tefillin mesurtatot, but it wouldn't have been mesurtat tashem mezuzah, and therefore it wouldn't have been kosher to you. So does someone medayik that from the Gemara? Because otherwise you could just say, it's talking about that you did sirtut. It's certainly nicer in that way.
But from that line of thinking, wouldn't it be that you have to write at the Shem Mezuzah on the Shem Tefillin?
We're not talking about writing yet.
I know, but wouldn't that be the same thing?
Well, let's wait and see when we get to the writing. So far, we've talked about the shape, talked about the skins, and now we're talking about the lines. We seem to be getting closer to the writing. Okay. So that means that you should not be able to turn a tefillin into a mezuzah anyway. That's actually also machlokas tanoim, the din of the sirtut of the mezuzah. Tanoi. Netanya. Rabbi Yirmiya Eimer Mishum Rabbeinu. Tefillin and mezuzot can be written without a reference, meaning you can write them bal peh, so you remember what needs to be written. You don't have to look inside of a Sefer Torah in order to write their tefillin or mezuzah, or look inside of another tefillin or mezuzah. And what's more, ein tzrichot sirtut. This braita says that a mezuzah doesn't need sirtut, in which case it could be that the braita before that says if it wouldn't be for the problem of moridin, that you would be able to turn tefillin into mezuzah. Maybe it's going according to the tan of this braita. The halacha is v'hilchata, tefillin lo boi sirtut, mezuzah is boi sirtut. So this is going according to exactly what Rabbi Newman said, and it's also the halacha that either a mezuzah or tefillin, as opposed to Sefer Torah, can be written without a reference text to be looking into. Why is that? Because Migras Grisim. Since those parshias, everybody is very, very aware of those parshias, and they're not going to make a mistake writing Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad and Ve'ahavta. So therefore, they can be even written Shalom in Aksav. Now, if you're coming to Tefillin and you're writing Kadesh V'Kol Bechor, now already that may be a problem, Bizman HaZeh. As it said, La Halacha, if the person's not a Baki, so of course it needs to be written Min Aksav. But things used to be different. It's like the Ramban's question about the case in the Gemara of someone who was lost in the Midbar and he doesn't know when Shabbos was. And the question that he had was, how is that possible? Not to know when it's Shabbos. Can't you see? Anyway, yeah, so maybe things have changed. Okay, now on a completely different issue, and that's the question of the Kiddush of the Sefer Torah and the kavod due to a Sefer Torah. Since we raised the shaila of Ein Moridin Mikedush Chamura LeKedush Kala, so we're talking also about another Maisa with Rav Huna, and Amar Rav Chalpa, I saw Rav Huna that he was about to sit down. It's actually a Girsa D'boy Leisiv. Tav Yosef Apurya the Sefer Torah Ale, and he realized there was a Sefer Torah there, so he took some type of bowl, put it upside down on the ground, so that now he's got a beautiful amud for his Sefer Torah. He put the Sefer Torah on that, anachale Sefer Torah, and only afterwards would he sit down. But he wouldn't sit on the bed if the Sefer Torah was on any part of that bed. Kasavar osur leishev agabe mitash Sefer Torah munachalea, and in that, he's arguing with Rabba Bar Bar Chana. Because the Omer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Mutar Leishev Agabe Mita, She Sefer Torah Munach Aleha. And if somebody whispers in your ears, pay no attention to that. We all know the story. What was the story? Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Elazar, Shaya Yoshev Al Mita. He was sitting on a bed once, and suddenly he realized, V'nizkar She Sefer Torah Munach Aleha, there was a Sefer Torah on that bed that he hadn't seen. And he slides off of the bed and sits on the ground, v'nishmat v'yoshev agabi karka, and he looked as if he had just been bitten by a snake. He was so brokenhearted that such a terrible thing had happened to him that he ended up sitting on a bed with a Sefer Torah. So it's clear that you're not allowed to. So what is he saying? That's different. That case was that the Sefer Torah was lower than he was. It was al hakarka. So when it was on the chelak of the mitat, and then he was standing on top, and the Sefer Torah was down near the bottom, and therefore it was a terrible, he felt it was a terrible embarrassment to Sefer Torah, and that's why he was so broken about it. But normally, la halacha, if it's on the same level that you're on, it would be okay, which we don't paskin like. Omer of Yudom Shmuel, Ketava Igeret. Now let's talk about a mezuzah that was written like an igeret. It was written like you would write a stam, a letter. So that seems to mean you would write it as if you were writing a friend a note. If you write a friend a note, you don't need sirtut, And you don't need to be careful with your spelling exactly. If sometimes a word is written mole, or sometimes it's written chaser, you don't have to be so makbir on it. And in mezuzah, it would be puzzle. Martaima, asya ktiva, ktiva mi sefer. Since the Torah is makbid with the word ktiva, and that's ktavtam, so we have a gezera shava, because we have this loshon obviously about a mezuzah, uchtavtama mezuzot pitecha. And when it comes to the chora, this is a reference to the ktiva of the sefer of the seita, because we don't have a raya that there are other seitas, there are other loshon of ktiva that needs to be like the Sefer Torah, but it does say by the parsha of the Seita, v'katavet ha'alot ha'ela b'sefer. So since it uses the same lashon, it would have to be the same type of ksiva exactly with the psuches and the stubes, and otherwise it would be puzzle. And as, not psuches and stubes, maleas ha'chaseres. Hatka ksiva, ksiva b'sefer. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Another thing about a mezuzah, if you put the mezuzah inside of a portable mezuzah holder, so you put it inside of like this markel, you put it inside of a hollow rod of some kind, and then you lean it up against the door, then it's possible. Why? Because it has to be bisha'arecha. It has to be kavua in the shar, and therefore either you could stick it into the actual material by making a little hole for the mezuzah, or you can nail it to it, which is also considered to be bisha'arecha. But just to put it temporarily on something that is there, that's not considered to be a kosher mezuzah, and it says this in a braita, Tanya Amiochi, Tila'a b'makel. If you put your mezuzah on the door by putting it in this hanging rod, oshi nicha achar ha'delet, or you put the mezuzah behind the door, so it wasn't on the actual mezuzah. So then, first of all, it's a sakana. The Rashi understands sakana means not having a mezuzah is a sakana, which is a very strange way of learning. And of course, by tefillin, when we say if you do it wrong, you have your tefillin rounded, it's a sakana. That's because if you bump your head when you're wearing those kind of tefillin, you could bump those tefillin right through your skull. So sakana meant it is a sakana, not that not having the mezuzah, we're going to call the sakana. So that's how Tosfos understands it. That if it's in a place that you don't expect it to be, you might bump into it and hurt yourself. Okay. And you're certainly not going to be yotze, a mitzvah that way. But Shabbat Monbaza Melacha Yosin Bepundakotehem King Zechel Mezuzah. So when they were traveling and they were actually potter from a mezuzah, nonetheless, they didn't want to be without a mezuzah. So they would carry around these rods so that even though it's not a kosher mezuzah, at least there would be a Zechel Mezuzah that they could put in wherever they were bivouacking for a night in the army. They would put a mezuzah there that they should never forget the inyan of the mezuzah. But of course, it wasn't a kosher mezuzah, it was zeichel mezuzah. The Amar of Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, mitzvah la'anicha betoch halalo shel ha'petach. You're supposed to put the mezuzah somewhere within the entrance, on the mezuzah itself. I should hope so. I need somebody to tell me that. Pshita, I think that I would have it facing towards the outside. I mean, it says bisha'arecha. Doesn't that mean that it's in the entranceway, not on the outside of the entranceway towards the street? Well, saka d'etchamina, well, the Omar Rava, since we do have a psak that says that it's a mitzvah, la'anicha b'tefach ha'samuch l'shut ha'rabim, so let's say if you have the type of entranceways you have in the old city, the entranceway itself could be a couple feet long. So where do you put the mezuzah over there? In the middle, towards the inside? So Rava says, the mitzvah is it should be very close to the street, within one tefach. So I might have taken that to mean that if the mezuzah clearly goes around the outside, so you have all of those stones that are forming the mezuzah. Maybe it's even better to put it facing the person who's coming into the entrance, and it's on the mezuzah, but it's on the part of the mezuzah that's facing outside. So I might have thought, kama de maracha kimali, maybe it's even better to be far away from the inside of the house. Kamash malan, that no, even though it's a mitzvah to be towards the outside of the inner part of the mezuzah, but it should be within the actual mezuzah itself. So even though when Rava was saying it's a mitzvah, that's okay, but it doesn't mean that it has to be, but it has to be on the actual mezuzah. Wow. Okay. Some fantastic halachas over here.